My name is Brown Armour. I'm here to talk about colorectal cancer screening, Medicare, and disability. Specifically, I'm going to look at a 2001 legislative change that expanded colorectal cancer screening coverage, and I'm going to look at the impact of that change on people with disabilities. This is joint work with Leslie, who's sitting here to my left, Filma, who's at the American Cancer Society, and also Carol and Lisa, who are colleagues at CDC with the Division of Cancer Prevention and Control. In the U.S. in 2005, approximately 150,000 people were diagnosed with colorectal cancer. It primarily affects those 50 years of age and older. Among those 65 years of age and older, 60% of cases occur in that with people older than 65. The average age of diagnosis is 70 years, which I find surprising when I was researching this. Late stage CRC is fatal. It kills approximately 55,000 people each year. And it's the second leading cause of cancer death behind lung cancer. It's staged like many cancers are, 1 to 4. If you're diagnosed with a stage 1 cancer, your 5-year survival probability is pretty good, exceeding 90%. If it's diagnosed in stage 4, your survival probability falls to about 8%. So prevention is key. Routine screening can reduce both incidence and mortality, and the screening methods, there are several. These include FOBT, known as fecal occult blood test, recommended annually, FLEX-SIG, recommended every 5 years, and screening colonoscopy, recommended every 10 years. We're going to focus on the first three, given some limitations to our data, and not on this fourth one, which is DCBE, double contrast peritoneal enema. In the U.S. Census in 2000, many of you know that it's estimated there are about 50 million people with disabilities in the U.S., and about 30% of those are age 65 years or older. So what we're primarily going to be looking at here is the effect of Medicare, as I said, on this colorectal cancer screening for people with disabilities. And I'm an economist, and typically when I think of Medicare and disability, as other economists, we think about the trust fund solvency. In an economics article in 2002, Friedman suggested that disability rates were declining among the elderly, and this really boded well for the trust fund solvency. In 2005, disability rates were increasing among the working age population, and according to Vacheri and colleagues, that did not bode well. And Skinner, who's at Dartmouth in 2006, basically said it's all moot as long as medical care inflation outpaces general inflation. I would suggest to you that Medicare spends about $2.5 billion each year treating newly diagnosed colorectal cancer cases. The cost of treating a stage 4, newly diagnosed stage 4 cancer is about $120,000, and a survival, 5-year survival probability of 8% versus a cost of about $30,000 to treat a stage 1 cancer with over 93% actually 5-year survival probability. And the cost of screening is a lot less than that. So we know from the literature that persons with disabilities receive cancer screening services at lower rates than persons without disabilities. And CRC cancer screening rates are really low. FOBTs are in the mid-20s. Lower endoscopy, that is the combined FLEX-SIG and colonoscopy, for people age 50 years and older is about 50%. However, people with disabilities are at increased risk for colorectal cancer. The reasons are that secondary medical conditions, including obesity and constipation, which are common in people with disabilities, are more common, I should say, in people with disabilities than those without, are risk factors for colorectal cancer. Also, behavioral risks, physical inactivity, and smoking are more prevalent in people with disabilities than those without, and sore sensory deficits. So, why are CRC screening rates low? Well, before 2001, many attributed the low screening rates to a lack of health plan coverage. So what Medicare did was it expanded coverage to include screening colonoscopies in July of 2001. So A number of studies have looked at this expansion of coverage. Before 2001, what you saw were gender differences in screening rates. Some studies suggested that women were less likely to be screened than men. Following this expansion of coverage, several studies suggest that this is still the case. Same thing with racial differences. Before 2001, several studies suggested that African Americans were less likely to be screened than folks in other racial and ethnic groups. After 2001, this expansion of coverage, several studies suggest that these racial differences persist. What about people with disabilities? There are a few studies out there. Some suggest, actually, that people with disabilities are more likely to be screened than those without. And also, there's one study out there that suggests that people with more severe disabilities are less likely to be screened. So the game here, as far as I'm concerned, is what's the effect of this expanded coverage on people with disabilities? And what I'm really interested in, no matter what happened before 2001, whether they were screened at higher rates or lower rates, is the growth rate in screening the same? That's what I'm really interested in looking at here. So if you can see these graphs here, this is, the purple represents 2001. The blue represents 2001, the purple 2004, plum. You can see that screening rates between 01 and 04 increased. The data I used was the BRFSS for 2001 and 2004, and what I did was, in addition to looking at screening rates overall, I looked at the disability variables and calculated the rates for people with disabilities compared to those without, and it's the usual suspects, and Leslie will talk more in her presentation about those disability measures. But basically what you see here between 01 and 04 is people with disabilities, you see that there's an increase in screening rates. It goes up about 2.4 exactly percentage points. But look at this step, people without disabilities, it goes from about 59% to 65.6%. So a leap compared to this group. So these growth rates are different. When I kind of break it down to try to isolate it, all the action here is not an FOBT. I talked about high FOBT screening rates, fecal occult blood test screening rates are in the mid-20s. You can see it's constant right across there in 01, whether you're talking people with disabilities or people without. And in 04, you see the same thing. There's virtually no change, so the action is not there. It wouldn't surprise you to learn that probably the action is occurring in screening colonoscopies because that's where coverage was expanded. Of course, here's the catch. The catch is we can't sort that out because BRFSS doesn't distinguish between colonoscopies and FLEX-SIG, so we have to combine those two. But what you can really see is that everything else constant, this policy had an effect, with screening rates jumping about 8 percentage points between 04. Legislation was introduced in July 01. This is 01 and this is 04. When you break it out again by disability status, what you see is among people with disabilities, it's about a 6 percentage point increase versus 9 for people without disabilities. So a bigger jump here. So clearly, everything else is not constant here. And I've already talked about racial and gender differences, so there are other things that are probably confounding those descriptive results. So in the second part of her paper, what we try to do is control for some of those. So we take a dependent variable, which is colorectal cancer screening, and we also estimate separately for FOBT, lower endoscopy, and we cut this 64 different ways. We try to cover everything, and it's all detailed in the paper. So I'm just going to show you some select results here for the key variables of interest using CRC, FOBT, and lower endoscopy combined as a dependent variable. So disability is our key variable of interest. Then we have the year variable. And then we have this interaction term, which is designed to pick up the growth rate and screening between 01 and 04. So we already seen that the strip of statistics jumped over that period. So what we were really interested in doing is controlling for all these other factors. What happens to the growth rate and screening for people with disabilities compared to those without? And we control for the usual suspects, age, gender, race, income, education, marital status, employment status, smoke cigarettes, BMI, whether or not you had a PCP. Evidence in the literature suggests that that's important for getting screenings, health status, and regional dichotomous variables. We also estimate these models using state-fixed effects. Again, our results are consistent. So here are those selected results. What you see is people with disabilities are more likely to be screened than those without disabilities, controlling for all those factors. Year effect is important, but the interaction term here suggests that the growth rate is different. Basically, people controlling for all those factors, the growth rate in screening is lower for people with disabilities compared to those without. Why is that, you might ask? And we know all the action is in lower endoscopy use, as I showed you earlier. So I think it's fairly straightforward or intuitive. Other barriers to care remain. Some of those barriers were discussed in other sessions yesterday. One of the key ones being transportation. A presenter yesterday suggested this was an issue for at least one-third of folks with disabilities. Again, I would argue that this lack of assistive technology is probably another reason why these growth rates differ. And then difficulty communicating with providers, acute health care needs, chronic not preventative care, and then lack of care coordination between PCPs and specialists. So the usual suspects. So some of the limitations of the data. Okay, thank you. BRFSS is a telephone survey, so we probably understate disability because folks whose disability prevents them from answering the phone we're not going to pick up. We also might overstate disability because the data is self-reported and we can't distinguish between those with a permanent disability and those with a temporary disability. We can't distinguish between procedures for screening versus diagnostic. So you've been diagnosed with CRC and we're doing a colonoscopy to confirm what's changing. We also can't say much about causality. Are you disabled because you have colorectal cancer? We can't say much about disability severity. We would like to look at severity since there's some evidence, as I indicated earlier, that severity matters for colorectal cancer screening. We're unable to ID the type of health insurance. Not too concerned about that for folks age 65 and older because over 95% of them are on Medicare. But for folks 50 to 64, we'd really be able to like to distinguish what kind of insurance they have. And if the former Surgeon General is right, from the skit he did Sunday night, then there may be managed care differences that if we have health insurance, we might be able to pick up. We're unable to distinguish the effects of Medicare program expansion from temporal trends. This is not a real issue, and we go into detail in the paper why we don't think that's much of an issue. But picture paints a thousand words, or the expression goes something like that. If we look at adults with disabilities, so if we look up the middle of the country, okay, some of the southern states, West Virginia, what we see, the disability rates are higher. So burnt orange is a higher rate. Lighter colors reflect lower rate. Again, this is for adults age 65 years and older. So disability rates range from about 22% to 41%. If we look at endoscopy use for adults age 65 and older, we look up the middle of the country. We look at some of these southern states. We look at West Virginia. Again, we see screenings lower. So in states where disability rates are higher, screening rates are lower. So what this means is for the public health folks in the audience, there's a real opportunity to improve colorectal cancer screening. For the research folks in the audience, there's a real opportunity to expand this research and think about disability in terms of severity, permanence, and duration. We'd love to have that information. In terms of CRC screening, we'd like to know more about Flexig versus colonoscopy, and also diagnosis versus screening. Again, we'd like to know what's really happening with screening and colonoscopy. Although intuitively we really know, I think, from the results of this study what's going on, but it'd be nice to confirm it. And then we would want more information on what the barriers to care are, because folks like me could really help then the public health folks by distinguishing which is most important. Is it transportation? Is it provider communication, etc.? So what's the point of all this? Well, from a policy perspective, the point is that for people with disabilities, the effect of this legislative change, which was designed to reduce a financial barrier to care, is dampened. Why? Because removing a financial barrier was successful in increasing screening rates, but for people with disabilities, the other barriers to care remain. So there's a real, I think, opportunity to align the policy folks with research folks like me and the public health folks to improve screening, not only for CRC, but for other types of cancers and also other diseases. And I think that what this study does is point out why that alignment is needed. I didn't want to disappoint anybody because, you know, this is the disclaimers we're used to seeing in everyday life, right? So they, my folks at work insisted that I make this big enough that everyone could read. So there you go. And basically what that says is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. If you need additional information and clarification on any of the points I've made, you can reach me at barmer@cdc.gov, or we can meet in the hallway outside after this. Thank you.